Hi, everybody. Welcome to Yachting International Radio. You have tuned in to Taylor Tech Stories with myself, Ben Taylor. Now, this week's guest is Dave Malik. He's from The Fog Warning, who are the industry's first carbon neutral yacht dealership, which we'll dive into throughout the episode. And we'll be going into Dave's story, what he's done in the past. I believe he's a New Yorker. And working as a social worker and all those things, and how it's developed into this yacht dealership that he runs today. So welcome to the show, Dave. If you'd like to introduce yourself and just give us a bit of context to where this is coming from, that would be amazing. And then we'll dive into your story.
Happy to. Thanks for having me. So my name is Dave Malik. I am speaking to you today from the Hamptons. I lived in West Hampton. I keep my boat in Sag Harbor. Boating playgrounds. And I'm really happy to be here with you today. I've been following you online, and I really am impressed how you sort of swim in two different seas, the boating world and the tech world, and bring people together to solve problems. I think that's remarkable. And in a smaller way, I'm trying to do the same. And so thank you for this opportunity today.
Hey, you're very welcome, Dave. And thank you for your compliments. So New York, where does it kind of begin, and where do you go from? Oh, I'll tell you what, let's dive into yourself being a social worker. I believe you were the head of drug treatment programs in New York City jails. I'm going to run down here. And what is that? What does the day-to-day look like? And what's kind of put you in that position as Dave? And what's kind of floating your boat in that scene there? How's that?
So the yachting biz is my second career. But my first was as a social worker. As you said, I ran the drug treatment programs in New York City's jail system. I love what I do. I absolutely love the boat business and what I do. I can't tell you, or you'll figure out by the end of this call, how much passion I have for it. But the best job I ever had was that job. It was tremendously exciting. Every day was like powering into a hurricane. It was invigorating. It was dangerous at times. But the best part of the job was the opportunity to make a difference, to try and help people. So I was managing 200 drug counselors, delivering drug treatment services to 2,000 inmates in one of the most violent jails in America, if not the world. And I did that for 5, 6 years, and it was marvelous. They fired me in the end, and I had to decide what to do with my life. My wife was a wise and wonderful woman. And she said, Dave, you know, if you do what you love, things work out in life. And I've been a sailor since the age of 7, in Brooklyn, no less, sailing in Coney Island, off Coney Island. So I pivoted to a life in boats, and it's just been great. It's just been great.
Wow. So one thing comes to mind. I've just been watching a masterclass. And on it, one of the instructors says, when there's kind of opportunities in life and you're trying to do things, you kind of end up with three answers. Yes, one's a not quite yet. And then the other is the world's got something else in store for you. Hopefully you something bigger and better. And so if we start to look at your second career, as you refer to it, in the boating biz side of things, when you're in between these two jobs and you're deciding, right, okay, what can I do? I've got all the options in the world. I know what I love. I've had this really fulfilling career by the sounds of it. What makes you go, right, okay, let's look at yachting and setting up this dealership?
You know, as a social worker and as a manager, at the end of the day, at the end of every day, you're a people person. right? And you're engaging and interacting with people. You're trying to understand what motivates them, what barriers are in the way of their goals or their success. And I could definitely overstate this, and I don't mean to overstate this, but helping people is helping people, right? So people are trying to sell their boat or buy a new boat or thinking about getting into a new hobby. You know, very often it's their first boat, even if it's a big yacht. So I've always found in both of my careers that the greatest human organ are our ears, you know, and the good Lord gave us one mouth and two ears for a reason. So most of my job is listening. That was true on Rikers Island, and it's true in the boat biz. And by staying very attuned to what my clients are saying, thinking about, upon some reflection, I can often give them a path or a few paths to choose from to, make their hopes and schemes and dreams on the water become true.
Yeah, it's amazing how these values are common across so many things. Like, you wouldn't put social worker into yacht broker.
Especially in a jail.
Yeah, you'd say like, well, that's how is that person going to do this? But I mean, it's amazing how these skill sets, I suppose they are, come into so many things.
Well, it's true for you as well. I mean, you've got boats and tech. They don't come together very often.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, and you got me thinking there, because I end up going to exhibitions, and you have these international boat shows and things, and then I've got the odd tech exhibition, and it would be interesting if I ever came across someone from the boating industry actually in a tech exhibition, because it's not happened, it's not even come close. Mm-hmm. I approach some tech companies and go, hey, I'm from the marine industry, I'm involved in boats and yachts and things, and like, what? Who is this person?
Yeah, strange animal.
Yeah. So in your story, you go from New York, and then I believe you were based in Turkey.
I seized very quickly, although I came up as a sailor and I spent my first few years selling sailboats in New York, I seized pretty quickly on the motor yacht segment and really fell in love with the country, the people, and the yachts of Turkey. So I spent 10 years essentially commuting to Istanbul twice a month, bringing Turkish yachts, usually custom builds, 20 to 35 meters, to American clients. And that was just a great ride. Turkey is just the most amazing place. Some of the, still to this day, my closest friends on the planet are from Turkey. I'll be going there the end of next week, actually, to look at a builder there. So I spent 10 years doing that. Then I retired early for a couple of years, got bored and came back, and decided at that point that the skills, if you want to call them that, that I had of translating the qualities of Turkish yachts and Turkish builders to the American yachting public, really I could broaden them to sort of the wider world and find builders throughout the world, in Europe and Asia particularly, and help them translate what they do to the American marketplace, which is a unique marketplace. It is different. I'm not an engineer, as the old joke goes, I'm not an engineer, I just play one on television, but I have a real, real appreciation and love for quality engineering. Seems to me if you solve that problem, you've solved pretty much every problem in boating and the boating life. And I've always appreciated Dutch engineering and Dutch boats. This started in 2008 when I really got a close look at a couple of Dutch super yachts at the Monaco Boat Show, and really fell in love with their boats and that engineering. So 3 years ago, I took a month and went to Holland, and I rented a little Fiat, which really does stand for fix it again, Tony. and covered the whole country. And I met with 17 different builders, trying to figure out which boats would appeal to the American marketplace. And frankly, most don't. The Dutch have a sort of unique style, a unique aesthetic. Their boats tend to be, on the whole, smaller, slower, steel and aluminum. But there were a few that really jumped up and bit me in the butt. And two of them I represent now. So in the smaller boats up to 40 feet, there's Long Island Yachts, which are fiberglass Down East style boats built in Holland. They've built over 100 of them there, and they're unknown here relatively. And then the other builder is Hartmann Yachts, which are big steel, go anywhere expedition yachts from 20 to 40 meters. And between those two segments, I feel like I can bring really the best of Dutch builds to America. And the motto of my business has been built on an old joke, which is, if it ain't Dutch, it ain't much. And that's what I arise to every morning and think about as I go to sleep every night.
Wow, right, okay. No, I love that story. And how you've really understood the niche of the clientele and the builders, and really fix that in with the consumer market and what they're going to want. One of the most intriguing things when I first heard about the fog warning is this whole carbon neutral play, because I've not seen that in any dealership that I've come across. I'm not a particularly big fan of the efforts that some companies make on exhibition stands, saying they've got something recyclable there, or they've made a display out of plastic, and apparently that's doing the greater good for the environment. I think you've got to do more than that these days to create a real impact, but also, even if it is just brutal commercials that is forcing the company to do that, I think there's got to be a substantial effort for consumers not to just see straight through it, and just for it to completely lack authenticity. So I'm intrigued to hear your play on this carbon neutral thing, and why it came about, and what the company is actually doing.
Sure, sure. Well, it starts, as everything in life, it starts with the personal, right? So I've had quite the career. You know, I've sold just over $50 million in yachts in my time. And the majority of those are big, fast motor yachts. The median size boat that I've sold has been a 72-foot, 120,000-pound flybridge boat that'll do, you know, 40 knots with twin 2,000 horsepower, straight shaft man diesels, maybe 1550s. To use a metaphor and a pun, that's been a great ride. But over the years, it has begun to weigh on me a bit that, as I've learned more about global warming and the state of the environment, and as a boater, you know, I mean, I'm lucky enough to spend 200 days a year, you know, on, in, or under the water. And we all seeing with our own eyes, you know, how the oceans are changing. And I began to feel a little, I don't know if I'll use the word complicit, but a little responsible for indirectly, you know, putting, let's just say, more than my share of carbon into the atmosphere. You know, every gallon of diesel fuel burned puts 22 pounds of carbon up into the atmosphere. The average boater, or let's call it yacht owner, in the world, is putting about 12 to 18,000 pounds of carbon up into the air every season. And I have watched with admiration and pride, because I love this industry, how over the last 5 years, in particular the last two, how builders are stepping up and recognizing this and making changes to their building practices to do what they can to reduce their environmental impact and their carbon footprint, mostly by introducing principles of intelligent sustainability in their build practices, in the use of materials, in capturing chemicals used in the process. And that's been great. It really is great. But I began to be a little saddened by a lack of focus on the retail sector. You know, once we build a boat, once we sell a boat, and that boat's out there in the great blue beyond, that boat is putting 12 or 18,000 pounds of carbon a year into the air. And look, we all see, in terms of rising sea levels, the impact of global warming. You know, those of us in the industry, you know, we go from exhibition to exhibition, right? So, you know, you go to either the sailboat or powerboat show in Annapolis every year. One of them is invariably during a full moon tide. And the whole eastern half of the show is flooded. You need boots to go look at boats. You know, boots for boats. Who would have thought that, you know? You go up to Newport and the oldest part of town, where all the sea captain houses are, they're all being raised up on stilts, right, because of the flooding. I have a good friend and a client. He's the former mayor of Miami Beach. He had a kayak to work on his first day of work because of flooding. So whether to, draw a line in the sand or atone for my own sins, I really began to give thought about what I could do, right? So I put on my social worker hat, as you were, and tried to have a more global view. And one morning in the shower, where I always have my greatest thoughts for some reason, it came to me. And that's to create a carbon neutral yacht ownership experience for my clients. And it was not that hard to put together. Basically, I asked my clients at the end of every boating season, any client who has bought a new or used boat from me at the end of their season, to send me a spreadsheet of the receipts of the fuel that they used that year. And with a very commonly available, carbon calculator, I can figure out what their environmental impact was. And then I make contributions to what's called blue carbon, which are ocean-related industries to reduce the impact of carbon in the atmosphere, or to capture or sequester carbon. And here at the fog warning, I make contributions or buy carbon offsets that zero out the impact of my clients' use of their boats every year. That's it.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Now, I've heard a few of these things and not specifically applied to yacht ownership or anything to do with marine. One of the best I've heard of is actually a good friend who runs a beer business. He's done for every case sold, he'll plant a tree. And yeah, so from a consumer point of view, you have that visual of a tree is planted. So it's not necessarily X tons of carbon, which a lot of people find it difficult to visualize and actually comprehend how big or small that impact is, but allowing them to go, right, okay, that's a tree planted. Right, fantastic, I get that. Let's plant three trees, let's plant five trees, let's plant 1,000. And whilst there's the obvious commercial element of that, also as a company, ethically and morally, and in terms of environmental responsibility, I think it's a great movement. He's now up to, I think it's just over 14,000 trees planted.
Yeah, it's a lot of beer.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of beer. It's a big forest too. So I think there is always this play where it is genuinely everyone wins, from the consumer to maybe a dealership or some kind of middle.
Exactly.
And the environment. So I absolutely love that. And just out of interest, have you seen a client particularly take to this and really engage with it and actually have you seen it obviously impact their purchase decision? Is the big thing from what I gather? Because as soon as it's commercial to do these things, sure enough, everyone will jump on the bandwagon because money does.
Well, I hope so.
Talk. But yeah, so it'd be interesting from your perspective if you've ever seen a client go, "Oh, I really like that. Let's make sure this is the dealership that we purchase from because it aligns with our values, or we want that to happen."
Well, this is a new initiative for me. It really just got off the ground a few months ago. Its coverage has been remarkable. In media outlets from CNN to Yahoo Finance and within the boating industry. So the word is just getting out. I've recorded a podcast with some of my partners on the environmental side, and that's getting great coverage as well. So the word is just beginning to get out. I need to do more about that. So I was delighted when you invited me on your show because, you're Ben, you're now on the side of the angels as well. So I've sold two Long Island yachts. These are sort of Down East style boats under 40 feet to clients for whom this initiative was quite appealing. And their boats are being built now. They're not delivered yet, but they've told me that they're going to have a spreadsheet and start recording all the fuel that they've got. Yes, certainly. Look, it's great. I've got an ego. I'm human, right? So it's really great to be the first to do this, to come up with this idea and execute on it. But nothing would make me happier. Nothing would make me happier to know I'm not the last. And in my marketing and my media presentations, I'm doing this because I think this is something that's so easy to do that the entire industry, all boat dealers, all boat builders should do this. And I'm really encouraging them to do that. And the value of this for my clients, when I speak with them, I said, look, I'm a niche brokerage. It's mostly the super yachts. It's mostly Dutch built. And my products aren't for everyone. And I tell my clients, if you don't buy a boat from me, well, I'll forgive you. And I'll especially forgive you if when you buy a boat from a competitor, you talk to them about Dave's Big Blue Wave here, the carbon neutral yacht ownership experience, and ask them to also begin this kind of program. And they should absolutely give me a call. I'm happy to talk them through it. We're all in this together. We're all on this big blue marble together. And we all want our children and grandchildren to have the same enjoyment of the water that we have. I mean, one thing I've seen in my time in the boat business, it's a generational business. As often as not, these nautical recreational values came from our parents and our grandparents. And I really want our children and grandchildren to enjoy it in the same way. And yeah, let's get the word out, Ben.
Hey, yeah, that's fantastic to hear and see, and it's a little bit refreshing to kind of hear that perspective and be very conscious of future, the next generation of customer as well as environment, everything like that. One thing I would love to do, Dave, is let this kind of mature and happen, and then come back on in a few months' time, a few maybe a year. I don't know, back when it's kind of come to fruition, and actually update us on how well this has done and some of the stories that have arisen for it. That would be really cool.
I would be delighted. I'm a friend for life, Ben.
Yeah, let's do that. Right, okay. That is I will genuinely put it down and keep up to date with you. But I mean, Dave, thanks for coming on and talking everything about the fog warning and what you're doing and what you're all about. It's really exciting. It's good to meet you. It's good to do all this. So yeah, big thank you from me.
Well, now I'm going to go practice my saxophone if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
Yeah.
Wait, just for the audience, we had a little chat about music beforehand. Dave is
You take
smart
care.
on the saxophone. He wants to go pro, but he's not got enough time. He's saving the world. Right, okay. Thank you, everybody. You've been listening to Taylor Tech Stories on Yachting International Radio. I'm your host, Ben Taylor. And this week's guest was Dave Malik from The Fog Warning. Thank you, everybody. And we'll see you on the next episode of Taylor Tech Stories. Bye for now.